to Tuned To Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Lavenier, for this hour of radio drama. Later on, we'll hear an entertaining story on the Damon Runyon Theater, but right now, a story of special training units in the military on the Cavalcade of America, and the story, The Schoolhouse at the Front, from July 19, 1943, on the NBC Red Network.
The Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry, presents George Tobias in Schoolhouse at the Front. Tonight with George Tobias as our star, we offer a new radio play, Schoolhouse at the Front, written for Cavalcade by Frank Gabrielson. Later in the program, we will introduce a special guest, Lieutenant Colonel Morton A. Seidenberg of the Army's Special Training Branch. And now DuPont presents George Tobias as George Annis in Schoolhouse at the Front.
My name is Corporal Alfred James Deming. In civilian life, I was principal of a grammar school in Pennsylvania. Now I'm in the Army, and I'm still teaching school. And I'm still teaching the alphabet and the multiplication table, where the equator is the same as before. But there's one difference. I'm not teaching children anymore. I'm teaching soldiers. Soldiers found to be illiterate. You see, our modern army is a complicated thing, and men can't be taught to fight until they can read and write. Now, here comes my class now. 10 men. When they arrived at camp, 8 of them couldn't read. 5 of them couldn't sign their names, and 1 couldn't even tell time. Now they know. Well, perhaps the best way to tell you about my class is to tell you about George Annis. He's that big soldier, marching second. Before he joined the Army, Annis was a professional wrestler, self-described as Hercules the Greek.
You wrestled good tonight, Papa.
Your papa is good always, Mary.
I was afraid of that blacksmith, though. He's awful looking.
Ah, all he does is make face, no wrestle. That Sicilian blacksmith no fight, just make loud noise. like pig, like Mussolini.
Papa, only you're better.
Your papa is better all the time, Mary.
Oh, hello, Mr. Goldie.
Hello, Mary. You know, it was an okay match tonight, Herc. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Here's your dough.
Give it to the kids. He counted for me.
Huh? You're a card, Herc. Want a match in Bridgeport next week?
No. God match next week.
Yeah? With who?
Hitler, Mussolini, and Hero.
Hirohito, Papa.
Hirohito. I go in the army.
Swell, Herc, swell. You should ought to make some soldier.
Best soldier in army I make.
When do you go?
Tomorrow. Next day, war gonna be over.
Huh.
There's $45 here, all right, Papa.
Come on, Mary. We get plenty banana splits for that. What's the matter? What's the matter, Mary? You don't like your ice cream?
Well, Papa.
Oh, maybe you want some more, huh?
No, thanks, no. Only, I don't want to go to Aunt Anastasia's to live.
Ah, what do you want? I take you to army? What kind of army this country going to have? All soldiers bring the little kids. Nobody fight, just eat banana splits. You're going to lose the war.
Can I have your handkerchief, Papa?
No. I need a handkerchief myself. Use sleeves.
And Anastasia's nice.
Well, sure she's nice. She's my sister.
2 banana splits. Here's your check.
How much did you say, Mary?
50. It's 50 cents, mister.
Nobody asked you. How much, Mary?
It's 50 cents, Papa.
When I want you to tell me how much check is, I ask you. Here, take the money.
It takes 2 quarters to make 50 cents, mister.
That's right, Papa.
Okay. Take the 2 quarters.
Gee, thanks.
Papa.
Yeah?
Will you send me your picture in uniform?
You want it when I just plain soldier, or you want it wait until I get to be officer?
Are you going to be an officer, Papa?
How many times I have to tell you George Arnas, Hercules the Greek, your papa, is going to be best darn soldier in whole U.S. States Army.
Upon his arrival at the induction center, George Arnas, like all selectees, was given the general classification test, a test which determines to a large extent the type of advanced training the soldier is to receive.
Please, what is this paper for?
Read it and fill it out, soldier.
Please. I don't understand still this paper.
Look, soldier, read it. Write the answers. For instance, here it says, what is your name?
George Arnas.
Well, don't tell me. Write it in.
The paper say I write my name?
Well, sure, right there.
That paper nuts. I know can write. That paper's nuts. It's me, Mary. Papa.
Hello, Papa. You calling from camp?
Yeah. Listen, Mary. I told you I'm going to be best soldier in the Army.
What's happened, Papa?
They're going to give me special training. I'm functional illiterate.
Adams?
Here.
Anas?
That's me, George Anas.
Just answer here, please. Barbeauty?
I'm here, Corp.
Fu? Private James Wong Fu?
Yeah.
Pay attention, please.
I pay. Think only you mean some other James Wong Fu.
Oh, I see. Leeson?
Yeah.
Kimishevsky?
Kimishevsky.
Just say here. Don't repeat your name, please.
Kimishevsky.
I said not to repeat your name.
Kimishevsky.
What's the matter, Kimishevsky? Don't you understand English?
Kimishevsky.
You speak Polish? Polish?
Ah, Polish. Tak, ja jestem z Polski. Rodzony Warszawia. Przybyłem do tego kraju 5 lat temu. Mieszkam na farmie. A teraz pójdę bić tych nacy psów.
Does anyone else here speak Polish?
Aj, Popov.
Can you explain to this man in Polish that there's been a mistake? He should be next door with Corporal Teka, who teaches the foreign language group.
Oh, Kimishevsky got go next place, huh?
Yes, that's right. You tell him to hand this note to Corporal Teka.
Corporal Teka, cinch. Kapral, mówi ty jesteś w niezwojej klasie. Maz być wyprzeległem pokoju. Proszę, bądź tak dobry i w tej chwili zamelduj się do kaprala Teka. Ta klasa jest tych, co mówią po angielsku.
Dziękuję ci bardzo, przyczaliciu. Proszę ci powiedz kapralowi, że ja dziabuję, nie mówię po angielsku. Ja pójdę do kaprala Teka... I Bennett, he hint me uczy po angielsku.
Kimishevsky, one, I say to you, he's sorry, he speaks not the English.
Tak.
He say he worked very hard to learn.
Fine. Good luck, Kimishevsky.
Kimishevsky.
Now, Popov's here. Ruga?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Tulliver?
Here.
And Zizbek?
Here.
Well, that's 11. 10 without Kimishevsky. My name, by the way, is Deming. Corporal Alfred Deming. Now, before we begin our work, I want to make sure that we all know exactly why we're here. Could any one of you men tell me?
I tell you, sure.
You're Anas?
That's right, George Anas.
All right, why are we here, Anas?
I know. Sergeant, tell me. We're functional illiterate.
And do you know what that means?
Sure. It means Army like us so much, they want to give us special training.
That's right. This is a special training unit. And do you know... what kind of training you're going to get here?
Excuse me. That's a crazy question.
Why?
There's only one thing anybody needs to show soldier. How to fight. How to fight with fist, the knife, the gun, the tank, the airplane. That's all soldier needs to know.
A soldier has to know more than that, Anas.
What's more?
Before a man can be a part of this army, he's got to have the equivalent of a 4th grade grammar school education. Now, that means he has to know how to read and write simple English and how to do some arithmetic. For instance, if a man can't write his name, he can't sign for his pay.
I make it cross.
Well, a cross can be anybody, Papa. But if you write your name like this, A-N-D-R-E-W-P-O-P-P-O-V. Hey, see how easy it is to write it?
That be Andrew Popov?
Yep.
He spelled me. He spelled me.
And you can do it, Popov, easily. And when you write your name like that, you're not just a little Mark. You're Andrew Popov, and everybody knows it.
Boy, that darn fine-looking name.
All right, let's get to work, shall we? Now, here on this chart is what we call the alphabet. It's made up of 26 letters. All these things are letters. And all words are made up of some combination of these letters. Now, this first letter is A. You say it after me, please.
A.
Please, a minute. Can I ask a question?
Yes, what is it, Ernest?
These leather businesses sound like go to school.
It is a school.
School is for kids.
School is also for anybody that has to learn.
It's for kids. I know. I got daughter in school. Little like that she is. She learned same things you want to show me. To read, to write, to count, to wash the back of the neck. I suppose you're going to show us that too, huh?
You bet we do, Zelda.
I'm big, tall man. I can't go to school. What my friends say? You kill Germans, Herc? I shake the head. You kill Japs, Herc? I shake the head. You kill Italians, Herc? I shake the head. What you do in war, Herc? I learned the letter A.
Soldier, get this in your head. The army won't let you fight until you can read and write and figure.
It's going to be a long time then before Georgiana's going to fight.
We'll see, soldier.
This is a lousy way to treat first-class functional illiterates.
All right, let's get on with the lesson. What letter am I pointing at, man?
A.
Now, this is B. Say it.
B.
C.
C.
At the end of a few weeks, most of my class was making progress. They could read simple things, and they could do easy sums. Well, that was eight of them. The other two had learned nothing. One of these was Ruga, who tried hard, but whose mind was poor. And the other was Anas, whose mind was good, but who just wouldn't work. Well, I just about decided to report him as hopelessly maladjusted and unfit for service. When one day in class, as we were reading aloud from the soldier's reader,
I live in camp. I am in the army. I have an army number.
What is your army number, Tulliver?
4,446,004.
Anas?
Yes, Corporal?
How many times do I have to tell you to stop looking out that window?
There's plane way up there. I watch it.
Never mind that. Pay attention here, please.
I pay all the attention I got, Corporal.
Yeah? Then why didn't you learn something?
Maybe I'm dumb.
No, you're not dumb. Your sergeant tells me that you have the makings of a good soldier, Anas.
Soldier, sure. But that got nothing to do with school.
Any man who can learn the manual of arms can learn to sign his name if he wants to. Everybody else in this class can do it now.
Not Ruga.
Never mind Ruga. Don't you feel funny still making those crosses?
Don't feel half so funny as feel like going to school like little kids.
We won't go into that again, Anas. But from now on, you work, or you'll find yourself in trouble. All right, let's get on with the reading, please.
May I ask it first question, please, teacher?
All right, what is it, Papa?
I find it two words in letter. I cannot understand it.
Do you want to show me the letter?
Sure. It's right here. These two words. See?
A banana split. Your daughter says she's thanking you for the money that you sent her for a banana split, Papa.
Banana split? What that mean, teacher?
Class?
Ice cream and banana.
Right. How come you send your girl money for it when you don't know what it is, Papa?
Oh, not my kid. This not my letter.
Well, whose is it then?
The Greek.
What are you doing with it?
Well, he's poor ignorant fella, so I read it his mail to him.
Why do you do that?
Oh, poor dumb Greek cannot read. He come say I won't know how kid is home. I read letter because I feel sorry.
You read letter because I pay you 2 packs of cigarettes.
Popov, let me get this straight. You read honest mail to him because he gives you cigarettes?
I'm sorry for him, too.
Popov, I hate to see a man lose a good thing, but after this, you let Anas read his own mail. If Anas wants to know what a letter says, let him learn to read it the way the rest of us have.
You are listening to George Tobias as George Anas in Schoolhouse at the Front, a new radio play on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by DuPont. As our play continues, George Annas, a Greek wrestler played by Mr. Tobias, is getting into difficulties because he refuses to apply himself in the Army's training course for men who cannot read or write English.
Mail call.
Mail, sir.
Mackenzie. Babcock.
Yeah.
Chester.
Hey, you got letters for Annas?
Keep your shirt on, buddy. Tolliver.
Tolliver here.
Hey, Wilson.
Wilson, Jimmy.
Hey, no got for Annas? My kid no right in week now.
With one flyer, you'll get it, buddy. Epstein.
Yeah.
Jones.
Yeah.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Brown. Annas.
Me, that's me. George Annas, that's me.
A little later that day, as I got the story, Popov and Smith and some of the men were sitting around quarters, shooting the breeze.
You hear Corporal tell me today I do good schoolwork?
Quite a little teacher's pet, ain't you, Popov?
Who is teacher's pet?
You butted a corporal like he was a waffle.
Yeah? Who else works so hard as me, huh? Who else knows already the general orders? Listen, my general orders are, one, to take charge of this post and all government property in view. Two, to walk my post in a military manner,
you know,
keeping
general
always
orders
on the alert and observing everything that takes place within sight or hearing.
Hey, I'm trying
three,
to read this here.
Three, fourth, all violations of orders I'm instructed to inform.
Okay,
four,
you know your orders.
More distant from the guardhouse than my own. Five, to quit my post only when properly released.
Oh, for Pete's sake, quiet, will you?
Six, to obey and pass on to the sentinel who released me. All orders from the commanding officer of guard today and officers and non-commissioned officers of the guard only. Seven, to talk to no one except the
minor. Pipe down, will you?
Eight, to give the alarm in case of fire or disorder. Nine, to call the corporal of the guard in any case covered by instructions. Ten, to salute all officers and all colors and stand a stop case. 11, to be especially watchful at night and during the type of challenge to challenge all persons on or near my post and to allow no one to pass without proper authority. And I suppose that is teacher's petty.
Hey, hey, shut up.
Here comes the Greek.
Hey, Popov. What's the matter? Popov lose the voice?
Yeah, about 2 minutes too late.
What do you want?
I got a letter from Kid. Read for me, huh?
No.
What do you mean, no? I pay you 2-pack cigarettes, like always.
Cannot read letter. Promise, teacher.
Never mind, teacher. I pay 5-pack cigarettes.
No.
I pay 8.
I don't care you pay 800. I not read letter.
Why not?
I not sorry for you no more.
Oh, look. I gotta know what the kid say. Maybe she needs some money or something. Who gonna read me letter? What's the matter, you guys? All Fred teacher, huh?
Ain't that, Brother Greek. We just getting fed up, working our butt ends off while you sit there and look out the window.
Do your laundry.
But I gotta know what kids say. It's 1 week since I done here.
Ask the teacher.
Teacher, I quit army first.
Don't get mad.
What I need teacher for? Go ahead, one you guys. Read letter. I ask you, please. Read letter.
Well, as long as you say please, give it here.
You read letter? No. Uh-huh. No.
Shut up, you. What she say, Smitty?
Hey. Hey, this is serious. Look, fellas.
What say?
What's the matter? What's the matter? Is kid sick?
Oh, I got the heart to tell you, Herc.
Well, tell. You promised you read letter.
Well, I just read it, didn't I?
Read? Read to who?
To myself. You didn't think I was going to read it out loud, did you?
What's the matter with kid? I got to know.
All you got to do is read your own letter, Greek.
As soon as I find out how he's kid, I'm going to come and break your neck, Mr. Private Smitty. Please, you get the house of Demetrius Constantino.
Sorry, they do not answer.
What you tell me? My sister home all time. Ring phone, she answer.
Sorry, they do not answer.
Look, operator, you must make mistake. Ring phone. I got to find out about my kid. I think she's sick. I got to find out. Come on, ring the phone.
Sorry, they do not answer.
Then ring louder then. I got to find my kid.
Around 5 o'clock, I was working with Ruger, who came every day for extra
two
lessons.
2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 3 is 6.
That's right.
2 times 5 is 10.
Mm-hmm.
2 times...
Please, Corporal Deming, I got to see you.
Honest, you'll have to wait. I'm busy right now.
But look, here's a letter from my little kids. Something wrong. I call home and no answer. I think maybe poor little kids is in hospital.
Well, what is it you want me to do?
Read letter. Tell me what's wrong, please, huh?
Sort of the sudden interest you're taking in reading, isn't it, Annas?
Ain't you here for to teach me to read?
My job isn't to teach you to read your letters from home, Annas. I'm supposed to give you enough education so you can become a fighting soldier, that's all. Ruger comes every day for an extra hour or two and works with me. Why do you do that, Ruger?
I not so smart. Work hard for me. Army say I got to learn or can I fight. I have mother in Yugoslavia. I did have brother there, too.
What do you think? I think about Greece, about U.S. states. I fight like anything for them.
Well, you got to finish school first.
I finish only read letter, huh?
No, honest. I put up with enough from you.
But my kids...
Learn to read, then.
Corporal, I think now honest work hard. Maybe you let Ruger read letter to him, yes?
You think you can, Ruger?
I try. George feel bad. Ought to know about little girl.
All right. Give Ruger your letter.
You, what did it say?
Dear Papa, I have a surprise for you.
Uh-huh.
By the time you get this letter, Aunt
Anastasia.
And I will be in your camp.
Uh-huh.
I am so excited that I cannot write no more. I will tell you everything when I see you. You loving daughter, Mariana.
The kids who come to see me.
There is a P.S.
Well, read them, go on.
Aunt Anastasia say, please, do not send me more quarters. I am eating too many. What is this word, please?
That is banana split. What's the matter? You can't read.
Now, Anas can read a lot more than banana splits. And so can the whole class, even Ruger. They'll be graduating soon, and they'll make good soldiers. Here they come now, marching to class. You hear them? That's more than 10 men. That's all the special training units in all the camps. Thousands and thousands of men. Men from the 48 states. Men from over the seas. Men who did not have enough education to serve their country under arms. They'll be better soldiers now and better citizens later on. Here they come, on their way to school 20 years late, but on their way to school at last, to the schoolhouse at the front.
Thank you, George Tobias. To most people, a diamond is a jewel. To some, it is an instrument of war. Next week, Cavalcade presents an action-packed Nazi spy melodrama about the men who risk death for diamonds for industry. Our play, Diamonds at War. Our star, the popular screen player, Charles Coburn. Be sure to hear Cavalcade next week when we present Diamonds at War, starring Charles Coburn, the famous Mr. Dingle of the motion picture The More the Merrier. The orchestra and musical score tonight were under the direction of Donald Voorhees. Cavalcade is pleased to announce that tonight's star, George Tobias, is soon to be seen in the Warner Brothers feature picture Irving Berlin's This is the Army, which will be presented nationally for the benefit of the Army Emergency Relief Fund. This is Clayton Collier sending best wishes from Cavalcade sponsor, the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware.
This program has come to you from New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Cavalcade of America, an NBC Red Network broadcast, heard on January 19, 1943. Radio's Superman, Bud Collier, was our announcer for that episode, and no less than 10 actors doubled or even tripled their parts for that show. And well-known radio actors among them, like Jackie Kelk, Everett Sloan, and Frank Reddick, who at one time played The Shadow. I'm your host, Mark Levin. You're for Tuned to Yesterday. Thanks for listening in to this hour of radio drama. And now it's the Damon Runyon Theater, with John Brown as star in the 46th episode in the series from August 14, 1949, the fourth anniversary of VJ Day, or Victory in Japan, which closed out World War II. And that's what we'll hear next, a war story called A Light in France.
the Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, A Light in France. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. It is of a midsummer evening not so long ago that I am sitting in Mindy's waiting for my order of potato pancakes and sour cream when I feel a tap on my shoulder. Now, I am certainly not expecting gendarmes because I am a law-abiding citizen. So I look up without a care in the world. And then I wish to leave. And leave fast. I am not able to say a word to the citizen who does the tapping, because how does one open a conversation with a ghost if one meets one in Mindy's? I sit there with my mouth open, and the ghost sits down and says,
"Your mouth is wide open, Broadway."
Maury, go away. You are dead. You will not like the food here anymore.
Do I look like I am dead?
I will not argue the point. I will leave.
Sit down. Take it easy.
Never again.
Look, Broadway, pinch me.
Definitely not.
Listen.
I have got nothing to listen to except the sound of my steps going away fast, if I am able to move.
I am not dead.
Listen, Maury, a long time ago, they find what is left of you in a ditch over in Jersey. There is quick climb in the ditch and your shoes, which are identified. The gendarme says it is you, and that is good enough for me. Now, I order some potato pancakes. When they arrive, enjoy them and give my regards to everybody who is dead.
Will you listen to me? I am not dead. I never am dead, and I do not expect to be for quite some time. That is, unless...
I do not see what you have got to think about. You are...
Not dead. And would you like to hear why I am not?
No, you cannot convince me.
Let me try. It is a very good story.
No, I will... A good story?
Very good. You will like it.
If I listen, will you promise to go back to being dead?
Sure. I know you cannot resist this story. You settle back and let me tell you something.
Naturally, it is a great shock to me to see Maury. Even if he says he is alive, I believe the gendarmes who identify his shoes after they pull them from the quicklime in Jersey. However, I am willing to listen to reason, especially if it is surrounded by a good story. And it is very good indeed. And I will tell it to you in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, A Light in France.
Me that at the time people think he is deceased more than somewhat, he is in France, where he goes to get away from certain citizens who wish to decease him. It is in 1939 that he comes to a little town on the seacoast. A very nice place for a guy on the Lamoureux, for a citizen who wishes peace and quiet. He puts down his suitcase at a little inn there, and one night he is looking over the place when the scene is as follows.
Good evening, sir.
Huh? Who is that?
You are a very nervous young man, aren't you?
Look, come on out where I could see you. Unless you wish me to scatter some lead in your direction.
Impetuous, aren't you? Very well.
Well, I think you can put that gun away.
Who are you? How come you speak English where there is nothing but French?
Probably because it was my native tongue.
Yeah? You American?
Well, with reservations. My name is Thaddeus Blackman.
Blackman?
The name means nothing to you.
Blackman?
Thaddeus T. Blackman.
Oh, sure. It is a small world.
I found it so, particularly when I saw and heard you this afternoon. For a moment, I was worried.
I guess you were.
But I fancy myself a student of, people. You didn't look like a policeman.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So this is where you lamp to, huh, Thaddeus?
This is where I retired to.
Sure, with about 16 zillions of cash. I read about you, Thaddeus. You make a nice score, and the U.S. government would like to ask you some questions.
Which I am in no position to answer.
I guess not. I do not know the legal lingo, but...
It was called embezzlement. However, I was not at fault. But the officials, you understand, would not understand.
Officials are very official and narrow-minded.
Precisely. And since you seem to know that, I take it you, too, have had encounters with law and order?
Thaddeus, you put it fancy, but there is more truth than poetry.
Good. We shall get along splendidly. Now, have you a match for my pipe?
Sure. Here.
Thank you.
Someday I will invent a pipe that does not go out.
In which case, you'll make a fortune. Well, shall we take a walk?
So Maury and Thaddeus become very friendly indeed because they have a lot in common. Then it comes up the next day. Maury walks inside the little inn and sees Thaddeus sitting at a table talking to a doll. And the scene is as follows.
Hiya, Thaddeus. Nice morning, huh?
Good morning, Maury. Sit down.
Thanks.
Maury, I want you to meet Marie. Marie, this is Maury.
How do you do, monsieur?
She talks English.
I taught her.
Oui, monsieur Blackburn, he teaches me the English. Someday, maybe I'll go to America, oui?
Why not, doll? I think you'd get along. Yeah, I think you would.
Marie.
Oui?
I'm all out of matches for my pipe. Would you mind?
Certainement, oui. Yes. I will be back in a presently.
Marie is a lovely girl, Maury.
Thaddeus, I have got eyes.
So I noticed.
Meaning what, Thaddeus?
I've grown very fond of Marie.
Oh, no poaching, huh, Thaddeus?
I'm afraid you misunderstand, Maury. Marie runs the inn here. She's been very kind to an old man who at times becomes very lonely. Sometimes, even tired of living.
With all the dough you got, you are tired of living?
Maury, there are certain things money won't buy. That's trite, but sometimes the trite and hackneyed things are the only truths. Do you know what I'm talking about, Maury?
Not yet. Proceed.
Marie, for example, I've come to look upon her as a daughter. I love her, Maury.
You are a funny guy, Thaddeus.
But you understand.
Sure. When I was a kid, I owned a teddy bear. Every place I go, I take the teddy bear. I remember that fuzzy little thing even now. Sometimes I wish I still have it. It is like a
symbol of what you had when you were a kid.
Sure, that is right.
Marie is a sort of teddy bear to me, Maury. See?
Yeah, Thaddeus, I see. Okay, we will leave it at that.
And that is the way it stands. From what Maury tells me, this Marie is a very classy doll indeed. But Maury makes no play. Meantime, he and Thaddeus get more and more friendly. Then it comes up one day when Maury is in his room. Suddenly, the door opens.
Reach your way up, Maury.
Well, well, well. Mike the mugger.
Yeah. Brother, I chase you all over, Maury.
Uh-huh.
You give me a lot of trouble. But little Joe and Delt says to me, Mikey says, go find Maury, I find you.
Sure, you find me. So?
I got a job to do, Maury. I got nothing against you. But business is business.
How much?
Kid. I got to go back to the States, and I got to tell little Joe and Delt that I get you.
So? Tell them.
I got to tell the truth, Maury. Otherwise, someday somebody finds out you're still kicking. And then little Girondeau would say to me, Mike, why do you lie to me? So, I got to protect myself.
Yeah, sure.
It's always puzzling to little Girondeau how you get away, Maury. He sends you out with Turkey Joe, but Turkey Joe does not come back.
They find my shoes.
Sure, sure. But they do not find Turkey Joe. Little Girondeau is smart. He says nothing to the cops, but he says to me, Mikey says...
Find Maury.
I find you. Understand, Maury. I got nothing against you. This is a business proposition.
Come in.
Maury, have you heard...
Shut that door, Pop. Get over next to him, Pop.
Maury, what is this?
The kiss-off, Thaddeus.
Pop, you're coming an awful bad time. Now, if little Girondeau is here, he would say, Mike...
You're not
going
to...
He will tell you, Thaddeus, that business is business.
Maybe this strikes him funny.
Cut it out, Thaddeus.
Oh, you don't understand, neither of you. You, whatever your name is...
Mike.
Very well, Mike. I'm afraid you're too late.
Huh?
If you'll go downstairs and look in the street, you'll see the town is full of French soldiers. No one can get in or out. I'm afraid this will be awkward for you, Mike.
Soldiers? What do you mean?
I cannot get out.
Mike, a war has just started.
War? War?
Yes, it's come. France and Great Britain have declared war on Nazi Germany. I'm afraid, gentlemen, we're trapped here.
What Thaddeus says is true, and it saves Maury's life for the time being. Mike does not wish to take the chance because it seems he hears of the French gendarmes, who Maury tells me are really cool gendarmes. Also, he learns that in France they cut off your head instead of putting you in the hot seat. And Mike considers this a repulsive way to die. So he holds off. Then, one day, the scene is as follows.
An interesting situation, isn't it, Maury? Mike?
What are you laughing about, Thaddeus?
Three rogues, three conscienceless rogues.
I am not a rogue.
Oh, but you are. So am I. I'm wanted as an embezzler. Maury is wanted by someone called Little Gerandel, and you're a hired killer.
Yeah, it is funny.
Yeah, I do not see a thing to laugh about. We are here for months already. Little Gerandel will worry.
Trapped by a huge, vicious war. A little tiny war in the midst of a wholesale carnage. The situation has its humor. You see,
That is Marie. Yeah, and running.
Something's wrong. Something's happened. Here, Marie, up here.
Take it easy, doll. What is the matter?
Marie, look at me. What's wrong?
Oh, sit down. My boss.
The Germans? What about them?
Monsieur. France. France has surrendered.
Well, well, well. What happens now?
Gentlemen, you think you're gangsters? Unless I miss my guess, the Nazis will come here. They'll want this harbor. Then... whatever you've seen up to now will be as child's play.
Thaddeus says that, and they look at each other. Maury will not leave there, and Mike cannot go unless he gets Maury, and Thaddeus is stuck too. Well, what happens later is quite a strange tale, and I will tell you about it in a minute.
To the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, A Light in France.
Like Thaddeus says, it is not long before the Nazis move in and take over. The place swarms with them. Then, one day, about a week after they are there, Maury and Mike get a little surprise. They are taken to an office. And there the proceedings go as follows.
Sit down, boys. Sit down.
Mike, look who it is.
Well, I'll be... It is Vasikov.
Vasikov.
Well, he runs Hoochin for Little Gerandel in the old days.
I have the honor to serve the Reich and the Fuhrer. I am head of the Gestapo here.
Well, knock me over with a sash weight.
Okay, Vasikov, what is the pitch? Why are we here?
I found out about you the first day I was here. You wish to leave here, yes?
No.
Yeah.
You do not wish to leave my?
Nope.
Well, that is peculiar. Why did... Oh. I think I see. Mike and Maury.
Wait a minute. Can you get me out of here, Vasikov?
Maybe. But it costs money.
Same old Vasikov. Always looking for a fast buck.
Look, I will tell you something. I advise you to leave while you can. For consideration, I can arrange it. Later, it will not be so easy.
Why not? We are neutrals. We can leave any time we want to.
I tell you, later will not be possible.
Why not?
Dummkopf! Believe me when I tell you.
Listen, Vasikov, how much do you want?
$300.
That much, huh?
That much. Oh, I do not know why I bargain with you. I could just... And who would know?
Well, you play a nice game, Vasikov.
I do not play games. I will give you until tomorrow. That is all. If you do not decide by then, well, you have until tomorrow.
So Maury and Mike go back to the inn. There they see Thaddeus, and they tell him what goes on. Thaddeus thinks for a minute and then says...
You say Vasikov said it wouldn't be possible for us to get out later?
That is what he says.
Uh-huh.
What are you thinking about, Thaddeus?
Come outside with me.
What for?
Come on.
What is the idea, Thaddeus? We are alone in there.
Listen, watch. Just listen.
What is that?
Construction work.
So?
Today I watched laborers come into the village. Hundreds of them. And loads of concrete and steel. They're building a submarine base in the harbor.
Sure. Subs, a perfect spot for them.
Once they're built, we'll never get out. But this Vasikov, can you trust him?
Him? Oh, not very far.
But he wants money. Offer him more than the 300.
Why?
Tell him to get us a boat, gasoline. Once we get to the channel, we can get to England.
Sure. What do you say, Maury?
What do you say, Mike?
Look, a little jerk...
Skip it. I guess I would rather take one of your slugs than one of theirs.
So they make up their minds to take Vasikov's offer. And Vasikov says he will arrange everything. Then it comes up one night, and the three of them are going back to the inn when they hear something.
What?
That is Marie.
Come on.
It's you do not like me, huh?
Cut it out, Vasikov.
Get out.
Blackburn.
You always do like the James, Vasikov.
Are you all right, Marie?
Yes.
It's all right.
Maybe you better beat it, Vasikov.
I give orders here. You remember that.
Keep your paws off this kid.
She has a brother in a concentration camp. All I do is offer to help him. That is all.
Oh, that is all, eh?
What else? And you will remember that one word from me, it will be too bad for you.
Herr Vasikov, don't touch this girl ever again.
We'll leave that up to her. Maybe she wishes to help her brother. Maybe... Listen.
Planes.
English airplanes.
Quick, the light. Put them out.
You're scared, Vasikov?
Put them out. I'll kill you. Put them out.
Better put them out, Maury.
Sure.
And after you do, stand at the window against the moonlight. Hurry! Now, stand still. Stupid animals. They pass right over the base.
One little light to show them the way and...
What did you say?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
I warn you. If anyone so much as lights a match, he will be shot without question.
May I light my pipe?
Now? Yes. I will go now and... Gentlemen, what we have discussed has become more expensive.
Well, a couple more nights go by. Vasikov says it is hard to get hold of a boat and gasoline, but finally he tells Thaddeus, Maury, and Mike that he arranges it, and that the boat will be in a little cove waiting for him. Now, Maury and Mike do not trust Vasikov, so they decide to do a little looking around. They wait until it is dark. Then they sneak past the guards and get to where Vasikov says the boat is.
See anything, Mike?
Yeah, there is a cove, all right.
Any boat?
I cannot see from here. Listen, the English bombers again.
Boy, what they could do to that base with a couple of nice eggs.
Sure, and all we gotta do is stand up and light their way and get shot down.
Mike.
What?
Would you do it?
Do what?
Tip the Limeys?
You're crazy. This is not my war. I do not start it, and I do not wish any part of it.
I am just thinking of that kid Marie and Vasikov.
Well, stop thinking about it and sneak down to the cove and look for that boat.
Yeah, I will be right back.
Sure.
Wait a minute.
Well?
Mike, do you smell something?
Hmm? Smell anything? Like what?
Take a good sniff.
There is some kind of a smell.
Yeah. Mike, you work for Little Girondel.
So?
So does Vasikov a couple of years ago.
You are crazy. What are you talking like?
Take another whiff.
You know, it smells exactly...
Sure.
Maury?
Vasikov. Come on, we will go back and tell Thaddeus.
Understand, if Vasikov got the boat for us and these tins of gasoline, why should he do what you say he's going to do?
Simple like ABC, Thaddeus. He takes the dough from us, lets us make a break for it in the boat, then has us rubbed out. All he has to do is scream to the guards along the coast, and boom, we are cooked, and he is a big hero.
You see, Thaddeus?
Yes, I do. And he gets rid of us altogether by...
I got another idea. Got anything around here that can open one of them gas cans?
Why, Mike?
I just think of something.
Here's a knife.
Uh-huh. Now watch. I remember in the old days when Kassikov was running hooch. There's a trick. There. It smells like gasoline, but like they water hooch in the old days, this gas is watered.
Well, well, old Vassikup thinks of everything.
Will the boat run on that?
Not good.
If anybody chases us, we got no chance but watered gas.
Well, gentlemen, it looks as though Vassikup is not such a Vassikup after all.
Maury, got any ideas?
Yeah. Wait for him. Play it dumb. And take him along with us. See?
So they wait for Vassikup to show up later that night. He does. It is around midnight when he comes in. He looks at him for a couple of seconds, then says...
Everything is ready. The boat is in the cove. The gasoline is here. Could not get it to the boat by day, but it can be carried at night.
Vassikup, we are thinking that maybe you should go through the village with us, just in case we are stopped, which we will be.
Of course. I take you in my car. It is a pleasure.
I guess it is.
One more thing, Vassikup. Marie is going with us.
What? Oh, no, that is not in the bargain.
It is now.
She will stay here.
I'll pay you $1,000.
No, for that I will not bargain. Why, you must think of a poor brother in the concentration camp. If she leaves here, I will not be able to help him. It would break her heart.
Nuts, I got enough. Maybe you think we do not tag you for a double-crosser, huh? Water, gasoline.
Get away from me.
Here, take it.
You. I fix you for this. Listen. The English bombers again. The lights, put them out. I said put them out, I shoot. Do it!
I'll get them.
I will shoot the first one who moves.
You know, all those bombers need is one light by the harbor to see what's going on. One light.
But there is none. Put out that match.
My pipe keeps going out, but I have a better idea. Here, Vassikup, catch it.
Holy mackerel, he is on fire.
He is burning like a torch. That is pretty good gasoline after all.
Put it out. Help me.
Vassikup, run. Me. Run for the harbor, the water. It is your only chance. Run for the water. Look at him go.
He lights up the whole street.
Listen. Listen, the bomber's coming back.
Vassikup is taking those bombers right to the harbor.
I think it's too late for them to shoot at him.
Did it work?
Hey, we forgot about Thaddeus. You all right, Pop?
I'm all right now.
You are hit, Thaddeus.
Yes.
Thaddeus, you certainly cook our chances of getting out of here.
Sorry.
I guess not.
Try to get away later. Take Marie.
Sure, Thaddeus. Cool. But what about you?
I think I'm going to stay here.
Well, that does it, Maury.
Yeah.
Looks like his light is out.
Yeah. But, brother, what a one he lights in France.
So that is the story Maury tells me so far. But it is not ended. And what the payoff is, I will tell you in a minute. Maury gets up to where the English bombers wrecked the Nazi submarine base, and old Thaddeus does a permanent fade. Then, Maury says to me,
so, we get Marie and we go to the cove. There is so much excitement in shooting that nobody sees us.
Yeah, I see that, but what happens to you and Mike and Marie?
Well, Marie is back in France now, and Mike and me enlist in the RAF. We are in for the rest of the war. We pass over the little village quite a few times, and we always look down on Thaddeus.
But does not Mike wish to put the slug on you?
We hear that little Girondel is taken care of over here. So Mike figures that a deceased cannot hold him to a contract. So that is that.
Yeah, that is that, yeah. But, Maury, what is it that makes you figure Vassikup is going to double-cross you?
The smell, Broadway, the smell, I tell you that.
What smell?
Oh, well, remember I am supposed to be rubbed out by Turkey Joe?
Yeah.
In fact, they find my shoes in quicklime in Jersey.
So?
Well, when I see what Turkey Joe is going to do, I object. There is an argument. He loses. I put my shoes on his feet because mine are a little worn anyhow.
This explains everything that goes on in Jersey.
Look, once you smell quicklime, you never forget it. I smell it that night in France. That is the way Bassacup is going to get rid of us and leave no trace, because we are neutrals and he wants no trouble.
Oh, I see.
Well, I got to be running along now. I have got to see the district attorney.
Huh? You are going to the DA?
Sure. I wish to start with a clean slate. I will plead self-defense, and it is. Anyway, I'm supposed to be dead. Maybe the DA will be glad to leave it that way.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, A Light in France. Listen in again next week for the Damon Runyon Theater. The Damon Runyon Theater with John Brown as Broadway is directed by Richard Sandville, and the story is adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. Vern Carstensen is in charge of production. This is a Mayfair production.
As only Damon Runyon could tell it, that was A Light in France, broadcast on the Damon Runyon Theater, heard on June 26th, 1951. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of radio drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.